Hello and welcome to the East Point Community Church Podcast with Pastor Chris Billiter. We hope you enjoy this week's sermon.
If you have your Bibles, you can go to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. I've already been in Isaiah chapter 7 a little bit. I'm going to go to a different part of Isaiah chapter 7 as we talk about love. Love is a February kind of thing, right? That's what we talk, I'm a couple months early. Except not in our house. This is... And y'all, I did not plan this. I'm not in charge of the schedule, but my wife is teaching kids class, which means I get to say whatever I want to say right now until she watches it on video or listens to the podcast later, and then I'll deal with it. But love is a part of our lives this time of year because we celebrated our anniversary yesterday. We have now been married 22 years. I'm going to tell you a quick story about that. She said, "Man Billiter," that's what she calls me from time to time, said, "Man Billiter, you've had me around for half your life now." I was like, "Yeah, it's funny that the math doesn't work out the same way for you, does it?" That was not a smart thing to say on my anniversary, by the way, in case you're wondering. She's like, "All right, I see how it is." In case you don't know, Angie's a little bit older than me. But I've been thinking about those 22 years. Put a little post on Facebook because that's what you do, right? You celebrate publicly now. 22 years. For me, 4 churches. For her, 3 schools. A travel agency that was started. 1 near-death experience. 2 of the best kids that you could possibly ask for. It's a nice summary of walking together. But in that, there's a lot that's glossed over. A lot of good that's glossed over. Probably a little not so good that's glossed over. See, and y'all know this, some of y'all have been married a lot longer than 22 years. But 22 years is built on a commitment that says, no matter what, I'm here. No matter what, I'm here. The reason I'm bringing this up is I'm 44, and I did not know this. No one told me this was coming. Maybe it's not the norm, but it feels like it. But around this age, what we're starting to see is people that we went to school with, their marriages aren't there anymore. We've been talking a lot about that. Why is that? You know, sometimes it's like the kids go to college and you look around and you're like, "I don't even really like you that much anymore." Sometimes the kids are in high school and you're so busy doing other stuff, you forget about each other. And we live in a world where it is a little bit, I don't want to say easy because I think that cheapens it, but sometimes for some people it's just like, you just say, "Never mind. You did this, never mind. So never mind everything else. You did this, so I'm out." And look, I'm pretty clear on this. I think there are biblical grounds when it's time to end a marriage. I really do. So this isn't a guilt thing or anything like that. It's just something that I'm thinking about. This idea of, what about love in spite of? Love in spite of. I think about other relationships in my life. Y'all know me. I like to ponder about things. I like to overanalyze things. But I've been thinking about this church and how Katie, Courtney, Andrew, Laura, and Mike aren't here this morning. I've known them since they were in middle school. Y'all, that's love in spite of. Let me just tell you that right now. Because they were middle schoolers. But I love them. I love them. It didn't matter what they did. I love them. They were my kids. And they love me. They love me in spite of. They could tell you about probably the greatest example of ugly crying they've ever seen in their life was when I told them I was leaving. And I hurt them. I did. I didn't, I was doing what we felt God was wanted to do. I didn't want to hurt him, but I hurt because that's what happens when you're in high school and someone you look up to as a leader leaves. You get mad. I had 8 different youth ministers. I understand. Yet, look now, still here. Pop's in there. I the next church I was at, I baptized Pop. That was, Sophie, how old are you? 18? 18 years ago? Some of y'all then came up. And through that, we've all went through this stuff together. Where there have been some good and bad, but we've had this idea that, but I still love you and we're still going to walk together. And as we get to Isaiah chapter 7 today, here's where I want to lead us to. That whatever example you can think of love in spite of, the love that God shows us in sending Christ is far greater than any earthly example that you could even begin to comprehend. That you know, I was saying earlier, there are times when it's justified to say, I can't do this anymore. There really are. There are biblical times where he says, I can't do this anymore. That God is so much more justified to look at us and say, you know what? I'm done. Yet the promise of Advent is that his love is greater than that. His love is greater than all our sin. So if you have your Bibles, let me invite you. Isaiah chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 13, but let me tell you what happens before that. The kingdom of Israel is a mess. As the kids would say, or the kids used to say, I don't even think they say it anymore. Sophie, can I get a ruling? Hot mess? Do people say that anymore? No. See, this is how far behind I am. As the kids used to say, it was a hot mess. It's divided. It's led by ungodly people. God, in his mercy, sends a prophet, Isaiah, to the king Ahaz. And God says, tell the king, ask me. This is what's going on in verse 10. Ask me for any sign that you want. And Ahaz is like, no, I don't want to put my Lord God to the test. Which sounds really holy, right? Except it's false. It's fake. It's fake holiness. Because he's not putting God to the test. God's already said, this is what I'm telling you to do. Ask me for whatever sign that you want so that you will trust me. And Ahaz is like, no, I don't want to. I'm going to cover it up in spiritual language to sound good. But ultimately, I don't want to trust you. Ahaz had tried to build some, is Survivor still on TV? Okay, some of you, okay. I was not prepared for the passionate response of the Survivor fans. Excuse me for a second. All right, so you all, are alliances still a thing on Survivor? You're right? Okay. All right. Y'all know what an alliance is, right? Hey, you're going to help me and I'm going to help you and we're going to ride this thing through. But inevitably, when an alliance happens on Survivor, what ultimately happens? It gets broken, right? It falls apart. They're like, ha ha, no. It's kind of what happened with Ahaz. He tries to build some alliances with some pagan kingdoms and they turn on him and it's just bad. It's just bad. The people, not just the king, the people have rebelled against God time and time again. If you don't know the story of Israel in the Old Testament, the people, the covenant people of God in the Old Testament, it's covenant promise, broken covenant, repentance, God will do better this time, broken, repentance, we'll do better. Nope. Over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. This is what happens. And now they're even being led by someone that would rather depend. That just hit me what I'm about to say. I'm going to say it anyway. Now the people of God are trying to depend more on political power and alliances than they are the power of God. And that never works for the people of God. Guys, it can work for a country. It doesn't work for a kingdom. It doesn't work for a kingdom. But that's where they are. They're thinking, we'll just do our own thing and we'll do all this. And now God, in his mercy, speaks to the king. Just ask me for a sign. Ask me for a sign. Oh, I don't want to put you to the test, God. Don't even worry about it. And then look. Look at what happens next. Verse 13 in Isaiah chapter 7. And he said, "Hear then, O house of David." It's interesting that the prophet is sent to address the king, but ultimately is addressing the people as a whole. The king is just representative of the people themselves, of their problems and of their sin. Their sin depending on their own power, depending on their own wisdom, depending on what they think they can accomplish. "Hear, O house of David, is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also?" I'm going to give you the modern translation of this, all right? "Hear, O people, y'all are running on my last nerve." Okay, that's really what Isaiah is saying here. You all, is it not enough that you are wearing everyone else out? Now you are going to wear God out? Like, can you imagine being told that? Y'all are about to wear the Lord out. Y'all are about to just go too far. And you know what? If God had said, done. He would have been right. He would have been justified. Because the people had just constantly rebelled. They constantly had walked away from what they had promised. Had constantly said, "Oh, God, you are good. But this looks better. Let's try a little bit of this. Oh, God, you saved us here. But what have you done for me lately?" They'd forgotten. And God would have been completely within his authority and justice and rightness and holiness to say, "I made a covenant promise with you. You have constantly and consistently failed to live up to your end of the bargain. So I am done." So can you imagine? You're Ahaz, who's representing the people here, and you hear this line from Isaiah. You hear, "Is it not enough that you bring everyone else to the point where they're just tired of you?" Like, that's really weary, right? Tired. "Is it too little for you to weary men?" Like, you have made everyone around you just tired of you. Some of y'all know who you would like to quote this scripture to as you go into your family gatherings this week. Like, you've got the person in mind that you're just like, "Is it not enough that you have worn everyone here just out right now? That you make God tired also? Is that really what you want to do?" Now, if I'm the hearer of this, I'm expecting the hammer to come down, right? I'm expecting. In fact, don't go there yet, Soph. But the next verse, I don't want y'all to see it yet, but the next verse actually says, it starts with, "Therefore." Therefore. And like, I love that scripture is a spoken thing, particularly like in this Old Testament stuff, right? These were spoken words. "You've worn everyone out. Now, is it not enough that you've done that? That now that you're making God weary? Therefore," and now's the good stuff, right? Now's the stuff where justice will reign, my enemies will suffer. Bring it on, right? There had to be an anticipation of the judgment of God. maybe when you were a kid, you got one of the good lectures. And I mean, like, I don't mean good like you enjoyed it. I mean, like, this is something that you remember to this day, that you messed up so bad that you can remember the actual speech that your parents gave you before delivering judgment on you. Does anyone remember their parents just like giving one of their all-time classic? Yeah. For me, it had to do with signing up for the Columbia House CD Club without telling my mom about it and running up quite a bill. There's so many things I need to explain in that sentence to the next generation that I don't have time to. CD, Columbia House, mail, like all, you know, just trust me. But it was a thing, right? It was a thing, and I, to this day, I can just remember what came next. But as we talk about the love of God, I want you to look at verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. This is not how I, frankly, would have given the speech, right? I would have been like throwing down directives and like, this is what you're going to suffer. This is, you know, this is what's going to happen. But God's love says, you all have made such a mess of it. But I'm going to give you a sign of my faithfulness. I'm going to give you a sign that will remind you that my covenant love for you was not dependent primarily on your faithfulness to me, but my faithfulness to you. That God promised that there would come a time, there would come a time that a sign would be given, that the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. He will be God with us. Where we expect and believe that God would be right to retreat, he says, no. I'm going to show you my love for you. I'm going to show you by giving you a sign. And that sign will be one who will be conceived of a virgin. He will be a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. God who walks with us. God whose presence is among us. This is the definition of Advent love. The people were given a promise that what once was broken in the garden, when God walked with Adam and Eve, would be restored when the virgin would conceive and give birth to a son who himself would be Emmanuel, God with us, the God who walks with us. What was destroyed in the garden would be repaired in Christ. The God would once again physically walk with his people. And looking further ahead, later it would be shown that once again, what the people enjoyed for a moment in the ministry of Jesus, in the life of Jesus, would one day be enjoyed forever. McKinley's, I can't help but think about the promise of all that's broken being healed today as you all prepare for a funeral. Revelation 21. God will be their God, and we will be his people. His dwelling will be amongst his people. He'll wipe every tear from their eye. There'll be no more crying, no more mourning, no more sickness. Because the dwelling place of God is with his people. Friends, as we think about the promise that God made Israel, we are reminded of the promise that we have in Christ, that Christ did indeed come. He was indeed born of a virgin. He really was God in the flesh. Philippians tells us this, that though he was in equality, that in person God, he did not consider the benefits of this and instead humbled himself. Being born in human likeness, he took on our form so that he could indeed walk with us, to be Emmanuel, God with us. When we deserved God to go far away, God instead promised, I will come near. I will come near. And I will walk with you and be with you. I'm going to circle back to the beginning for just a second. And again, there's a lot of relationships that have lasted longer, even in this room, than the ones I've talked about. You're not married for 22 years. You're not friends for, 21 years and some months. Man, that's hard to say out loud, y'all. Without there being ups and downs, disappointments, grieving one another, hurting each other. And times over the course of relationships like that where there is justification to say, I just can't. I just can't anymore. But as humans, we do our best to love in spite of. But I want us to understand something. God's covenant promise with us isn't based on in spite of. It's rooted in because of. Because of. The reason that the prophet Isaiah just didn't throw the smackdown at this moment, it wasn't because Ahaz and Israel and all these people wasn't going to be like, but you know what? In spite of all the bad stuff, at the end of the day, you're still better good. You're still more good than you are bad. No. It wasn't in spite of. It was because of. And the because of wasn't because of the people. It was because of God's goodness and faithfulness and love for us. Oh, love that will not let me go. The love of God that knows no ends, knows no bounds. The Advent concept of love is not based on who we are. It's based on who God is. That when we give him every reason to say, I'm done. He says, I'm not done. I'm not done. And it's not because he looks at us and he's like, you know what? Y'all are worth it. Y'all, we got to get this man-centered vision of God's love out of our head. His love is his love because of who he is. We always want to be like, but you know what? But he sees me. Yes, he sees you. And he sees that I'm good enough. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He knows you're not. But because of who he is, he loves you anyway. And because of his covenant promise with Israel, he said, one day I'm going to make all this right. And I'm going to give you a sign. And what's broken, Ahaz, what you have worked to destroy, what you, because of your horrible decisions and your political alliances, has just broken the kingdom and people are running in a million different ways, I will restore, and I will make new, and I will make greater than anything Ahaz could have possibly imagined. A people and a kingdom, not of an ethnic group, but a people in a kingdom of every tribe, nation, and tongue. A kingdom built on God's faithfulness to his people. even when his people aren't. Guys, this is the Advent love that we celebrate. That God loved us so much that when we deserved nothing, he said, "Behold, I'll send you a sign. The virgin shall conceive. She'll bear a son. And they will call him what he will be. Emmanuel. God with us." Tuesday night we'll come and we'll read the stories. We'll read the scriptures of how this came to pass. And we will celebrate that child not being just a normal baby, not being a regular, just run-of-the-mill birth. But in that moment, in that area, when there was no room for an inn, it would be God himself, born to walk with us, fulfilling God's great promise, Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this love. Thank you so much for a love that's not based on us. It's not in spite of who we are, but it's because of who you are. The faithful one, the one who is faithful to his word, the one who is faithful to the promise made in the garden that though the serpent may strike the heel of the offspring of the woman, that the serpent's head would be crushed. Lord, throughout the Old Testament, we see promise after promise of how you would restore your people and redeem your people, that you would expand your kingdom beyond Israel, but to all people. And you do this because of your great love for us. Lord, we know today that we don't deserve it. We know that we don't earn it. We know that at the end of the day, we have nothing to bring. It's just because of you. So, Lord, we celebrate the one who would be born of a virgin. We thank you for the one who would be Emmanuel, God who is with us. And, Father, we ask that if there are those that do not yet know this one who would be called Jesus, this one who would be called the Christ, who would be the longed hope for Messiah. We pray today that if there are those that have yet to believe in him, that today would be the day that they understand that it's not about them and what they bring to the table. That in Christ you've given us everything that we need. God, we pray that there would be those that would believe. And for those of us that have believed, help us to be in awe of such faithful love. Father, we love you because you have loved us, and we pray this in Christ. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us this week. If you're in the Louisville area, we would love to see you in person at our weekly service, Sundays at 10 a.m. In the meantime, grace and peace, and we hope you'll join us again soon.